Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. June 17, 2019. Exist in both worlds. We learn how to work on the first spiritual level when from feeling ourselves inside our egoism, in this world, we rise to a higher level than our egoism where the Creator dwells. We need to discern these two steps, our egoism and the level above it, in order to live simultaneously on both levels. This will be our first spiritual degree. The first spiritual step is the most difficult one because it is not even like a baby taking its first steps. It is an entirely new world and a completely new attitude to reality. Cardinal changes occur inside a person. I realize that the natural picture of the world is seen within my egoism, in the desire to receive with which I was born and which was created by the Creator. This world does not exist in such a form by itself, but it appears so in my egoistic properties, which can be changed, and then the world will also begin to change. Therefore, for now, the world seems to us as dark, egoistic, and then it will change. Such an image of the world is given to us from above by the Creator so that we can rise from this state. For this, we need to imagine that all this comes from a higher degree where the light, bestowal, and love reigns, and fills all of reality. All this exists above my ego, above this world, and I want to cling to this higher state. But the selfish image of the world that I see now, black, unhappy, hopeless, unjust, also comes from the light, and apparently, with a specific purpose. Therefore, I remain with the sensation of this world as it is, but I want to belong to a higher state, a higher world, where the Creator, the highest light, the power of bestowal and love reigns. I want to merge with it. Therefore, I divide myself in two, trying to cling to the highest level with all my heart and soul, despite the fact that I feel myself below in my selfish desire to receive. I do not see any contradiction in this. These two opposite poles must exist. The one who breaks away from the lower world and feels only the highest is called an angel. Living only in the lower world is resembling an animal. But one who tries to exist in both worlds at the same time, exists in faith above reason. The force of bestowal that one wants to find in the higher world must be higher than the force of reception ruling in the lower world, our egoism. Further progress is to descend lower and lower into this world with all of its miasmas, and accordingly rise higher and higher, up into the spiritual world, from -1 to +1, from -2 to +2, from -3 to +3, and so on. It is said, "He who is greater than his friend, his desire is greater than him." Another is my previous state. We need to descend to find out the broken desires, then raise them to a higher level and fix them. This is our job. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, the 6th of April 2019, the Absolute Zero. Can a person control his destiny? Question: what does it mean to control one's destiny, and is it really possible to control it? Answer: a person controls his destiny in different fields, personal, public, state, economic, political, etc. If we understand that everything is moved only by the upper light, the upper force, and only in order to develop us so that we can sense it, reveal it in ourselves, resemble it, then to the extent that we ourselves begin to make efforts to become like the upper force, we will follow a good path toward it. Then all its effects on us will not be perceived as negative, painful, and forcing us to change, but as positive, desirable, and good. Everything depends on our attitude toward the forces of development. Question: does a Kabbalist know what he can change in his life and what he cannot? Answer: partially, yes. Question: does that mean a Kabbalist does not go where he or she cannot change anything? Answer: on the contrary, he involves himself in absolutely everything. The fact is that he needs to participate in absolutely all actions, in every manifestation of nature's forces. At the same time, he knows in advance what he can change. What he cannot change is also an active deed because he restrains himself. But based on the whole gamut, on all the possibilities of his intervention in himself, in nature, in society, in the family, etc., he knows how to act, how to properly recruit all the forces of nature at the moment, assemble them and activate this combination. But again, despite this, we live in a world that needs serious correction. Each of us goes through very serious forms of breakage and is subjected to great pressure. We must experience all the mistakes on ourselves because, as it is written, there is no righteous man on earth who has done good and did not sin first. Only after passing through all sinful states, can we reach the state of the righteous. A righteous person is the one who has sinned a lot, but today understands the causes and consequences of everything that happened to him or her, and to the extent that one learns from one's mistakes, can already be a righteous person. It is impossible for a person to be kind, good, right, and wise, if one has not passed the states opposite to these. Only to the extent one was mistaken, can one be right today. From Cab TV's The Basics of Kabbalah, the 20th of November 2018. New Life Number 10.
Hello.
Balancing Mankind and Nature.
On our series of conversations with Dr. Lightman. Hello. Hello, everyone. I want to remind you that on this show of ours, we are simulating a state, a situation where Dr. Lightman is a teacher, and there are people standing before him that could be from Israel or from any other country in the world, and the country or the organization, the company they work in, thought that it would be good for them to sit and listen to lessons by Dr. Lightman about this theme. So join us, it will be fun. What are we studying today, Dr. Lightman? Today, as always, about life. We said that if we look at ourselves and see ourselves as corrupted beings where our qualities, our habits, they're not that convenient. No one is satisfied or is in content with others and not in content with himself. And we said that it is possible to compare this to an apple on a tree, on which we can see how it is small and bitter and it has a bad smell and how it gradually grows. And throughout this process that it undergoes, we see nothing good coming as a result, but it takes all of the minerals and water and moisture and air and so on. What for? And only in the end of the process do we see that it becomes good, nice, with a good smell, and it's really sparkling, it's so good, and it's very opposite, so different to how it was throughout the process of its ripening. And we also said that possibly we are so too, only we can't see this because we're finishing our life and we don't understand where are we, that we have reached a good state where each person has become good, nice, courteous, convenient, pleasant, a good person? No, we're not that way. And then we said that possibly we're advancing from one generation to the next as opposed to apples or animals, but people, they constantly advance and progress from generation to generation, where each generation is more developed than the previous generation, meaning that we can't simply put a person's life into one generation, but probably that all of our development throughout all of the years, it's like of the life of one person that constantly returns and develops and returns and develops evermore until eventually we reach a good and nice state. that this is what we say, that probably this is the form of our development, and this is why people in the world say that don't show the work to a fool in the middle of the way. What is the difference between the wise and the fool? The wise sees, he foresees the future, so to speak. He can see what's going to come out as a result at the end of the process, and we don't, and thus it's hard for us to justify the states that we're undergoing, and the whole process that we're undergoing is very hard and sad, and we constantly advance from troubles and mistakes, but somehow we advance until we reach a state like today where we are either on the crossroads in at a dead end. We talked about it, that it's like we've lost ourselves, we went astray in the desert and we don't know where to go. But again, we have to see this. We're a part of nature. And nature is drawn to balance. And balance with nature, it means that we will be like nature in the same qualities. That if we develop, let's say, in nature, what is the general power of nature? What is it drawn to? What does it want? Meaning, what does it sustain in us? And here we can say that truly our development could be good. That we are reaching the recognition of our evil, of our ego, that we're becoming more and more egoists and more understand how we're really bad in this way, that we bitter our lives and the lives of others. And when I come out to the environment that I want to use in order to succeed, in order to be better than it, in order to be richer, to control them, maybe all that returns to me adversely, because eventually I see the kind of society we have built, the form that society has, rich and so on, and wise, and see what we came to. Completely not the situation we wanted to come to. And what is the reason for all of this evil, that every time we're wrong and we come to some kind of a bad result in life, every time we're heading for some goal and we think that then we'll feel good, or another goal, and again we aim it so that we'll feel good, but eventually it all ends in bad things, in lack of satisfaction. If not in dramatic developments, wars, plagues, problems, and so on. So the problem is that we see, if we look at ourselves compared to all the other kinds of nature, still vegetative and animate, we see that the whole of nature develops, if it develops altogether, very slowly. And the truth is that there is barely any development. And what we do have, the development that we do have, is life according to instincts, where here we have the orders that living form, in that living form, it evokes, and that living form realizes them, let's say a cow, a monkey, a horse, a cat, a dog. We study their nature, and we see that animal works according to its nature precisely, never deviates to the right or to the left, ever, because it has its inner laws, and it's built to keep them. And if we're talking about a human being, then he is constantly wrong. And these mistakes, they have to cause us to develop mentally, because we have a problem, or we have a preferability, better to say, over the animalistic level that we develop from generation to generation in understanding our knowledge, recognition of the world, understanding nature and ourselves. And so we're probably using our wisdom incorrectly, and that's the problem. And if we go into more ancient times, then we will understand why is it that using the mind for the better or for the worse, the ancient scientists, wise people like Aristotle and Plato, which were the founders of the ancient science, they said, don't give science and wisdom to anyone who feels like it, but only to those people who are fit for it, who will use science only in favor of other people, so that as a result, a person will develop good life towards others, and he'll cause a better life for others, more comfortable. But if you've passed science on to anyone you feel like, then by this, you actually cause humanity harm. Because man, from his ego, will surely use science against himself and against others, that it returns to him, and eventually he destroys his environment and uses and aims the whole of humanity for the sake of weapons and so on and different other things that there's no need in. And we see in our times that by science, by all our tremendous ability, we have reached a state where we have full abundance in our hands, but we use all of these things adversely. And the fact is that we are in a comprehensive crisis, comprehending all the levels in life. Science and wisdom are in crisis, education, family, relations between people, between spouses, between parents and children, our health, our future, relations between us, our culture. What do we see? What are we nourished by from the media? Really, the situation is completely does not correspond what we could theoretically do. But using all of our abilities, the way we use our abilities, is incorrect. And this continues now for generations, many years since Plato and Aristotle talked about it, not to disseminate science to everyone, but only to the people who know how to correctly use it, for them to find only the good things. And if people with their evil inclination who will want to use science in forms that are to control, in order to control other people and create weapons and medicine that there's no need for and to sell it only in order to get rich, all kinds of things that a person needs but makes, but he has no need for them. On the contrary, it's all made in order for those scientists so they can sell their science, sell their inventions. They'll do it only in order to benefit. A scientist who is decent, it means he who loves science, and that's it. Because one who loves the science does not sell it. And thus we see that we went astray throughout the thousands of years of our development in the desert, and we came to what we came. Along with it, we have some kind of a recognition of evil in our development, that yes, we can probably develop in good ways. We can walk like on 2 feet with our development. We do some bad and immediately we return to good. Do some bad and immediately return to good. We need to merely operate the recognition of evil, its discernments, that let's understand where did we go wrong and to immediately correct it, like a small child. We let him break something on purpose in order to correct it. Do something wrong in order for him to learn how to learn to do it correctly. That's how we are. If we change our attitude, if we understand that our life is built such that there has to be evil, only let's start acknowledging that that is the evil in our ego and using all of our abilities, especially in technology and science, in our great abilities above the living animalistic level, if we'll use all of our riches on the human level that we have, and each time we'll examine correct or incorrect and so on, and then from these scrutinies we'll always be able to come from the bad to the good, and we'll also see this in contraction and expansion like any other parts of our body work, like when we breathe or like our heart works, all the parts also in the car, in general, advancement, bicycle, and the where it goes forward and also part of it goes backward, forward and backward. Always in all the development there are these two contradictory forces that work in harmony between them, that complete each other. So what is missing for our world is, God forbid, not to destroy anything. And what we did till now is that we had to develop this way. Only from this point and on, we merely have to activate our criticism over what's happening and to add to it smart building constructive criticism and add our wisdom to it and see how each time we can develop and advance from here through corrections, and all the bad actually supports the good, and we use both the good and the bad to advance, and then there's no good and bad but these two forces that exist at our disposal. They help us. And thus we suddenly start understanding that our whole nature, which is egoistic, is good. By it, we have developed our ability for scrutiny and self-correction. And then from now on, if we will advance reciprocally, correctly, then we're really like a good, nice engine. We'll advance towards a goal like a nice apple that already ripens, and maybe we'll truly reach a flourishing human society that has a good scent and abundance and riches. This is why we have to see that it was this good and nice development was actually prepared for us, and the addition which we get from the wisdom compared to our ego, our destructive ego, these two forces of ours, they can help us advance. And then we have the ability here to understand, where's our free choice that we talked about it once? Our free choice is in between these two forces, where on the one hand we have the evil force, on the other hand the good mental force that will help us. We're people, we appreciate wisdom, and then the evil nature and the wise mind, by that we can invent the right good path that is good for us and for the vegetative animate, meaning for all of our nature and ecology. And then we get into this general harmony with all these forms of life, with the conclusive nature. And so all the suffering that we feel is actually an invitation to operate our free choice to correctly use the balance in between these two forces that are at our disposal. And undoubtedly that when the entire world will understand this and will want to use the great power of the mind of development that we came to restrain our ego and to control it correctly, nicely, not to destroy it, God forbid, there are different such techniques and methods that ego is evil and we have to destroy it. No, we have to understand that there's no evil in nature, only there's the ability to use it for the better. And when you don't use it for the better, then it inverts into bad. Thus, we merely have to know how to use it. And so, our entire course, all that we're studying, is actually intended eventually to give us the understanding and plan a method how to correctly use the good, the bad, and to make a good life out of them. Thus, it's possible to call our course a course for the good life. And so it is also forbidden for us to look at what is at present. As it says, don't show a fool half of the work. It's forbidden for us to look at things in the middle of the way and cry about it, because by this we resemble fools. But we have to see these things as targeted at the goal. And we have to understand that every phase is aimed to be that way, and we're advancing nevertheless towards a good goal, and we have to see it as existing somewhere out there, and we're approaching it, and every time we're entering deeper and deeper into a more corrected life, and we really have a good future. And so neither about nature or about anyone else is it allowed for us to treat it poorly, to come with demand and complaints and criticism, disregard and hatred. Because we have to understand that all of us are undergoing the same process and when we help each other mutually through reciprocity, like those people that are lost in the desert and without mutual help, they will not be able to reach a good place. So thus, the mutual correction, the mutual help is what can lead us toward the good and nice goal. And so, we have to understand that in each one of us, there are these three kinds of desires. Bodily desires, or possible to say animalistic desires, meaning that they exist also in the living animalistic level. It's a desire to exist in a good, nice way. Dress myself, I want to be clean, I want to be healthy, I want to fill myself with food and all that my body needs, I want to give myself rest. In short, to keep myself. This is the first thing. The animalistic level keeps this instinctively. The other desire are desires of people, meaning the desires of people are egoistic desires. This is how we're developing from the living level, animalistic level, through the envy and lust and honor in such forms that we want to transcend, prevail others, and these are desires that belong only to the human level. No such thing on the animalistic level. We see how animals, that they eat each other and so on, but they don't want to do harm to another. They don't want to transcend and to control others. They don't want to... They need him only for their basic needs. That it exists so in their nature instinctively, and thus that's what they do. If a lion captures a deer and eats it, He doesn't do any harm to it, but he simply realizes the laws of its nature. We see that they have no relations, that they hate each other, but we simply see a picture before us that this is how nature behaves, and also we behave this way toward chicken, toward the living species, toward fish. We also do it, but I have a hatred toward a cow, and this is why I butcher it and eat her. No, but it's because there's no choice. We're built so that we need to do these things, and we try and do it in as least harm as possible to those kinds of animals that we use for food. Only man to man uses his ego. I constantly look at the lawn of the other, at the other's car, his kids compared to my kids, his salary compared to mine, my whole life. I measure the fulfillment of my life only that way, up to a point where there are statistics, very interesting statistics, that if you tell a person that suppose you will make $1,000 a month and your neighbor will make less, or you will make $2,000 a month, but your neighbor will make more. People agree to making $1,000 instead of two, because all in all, what we're examining is one compared to the other, one with respect to the other. We're all in all, by this we measure the extent of our good situation, meaning the way we examine, we look at life, it's not within my body, but corresponding to my, or according to my personality. How much higher is it than of others? And thus we say that these kinds of desires belong only to the human level, because in the animalistic level, it doesn't care what the other animal has. It only simply has to fill itself for its basic needs. So the bodily desires, which are like on the animalistic level, the human desires, which are all evil, because with respect to the other, I always look at how will I be in a better, more respectable, higher situation than the other, and other desires that exist and only in us as well. And atop the bodily desires, above the desires of people, it is the desire for science, for wisdom. Where then I agree to know, what am I living for, what's going on in life, how does nature behave, what's going on around me, why does this have to do with this and that has to do with that. Meaning that I like the mind in nature, the wisdom, where we're constantly in research. We're in a kind of a bubble called nature. And all in all, from there, I who exist in this sphere, and I take from it, and take, and take, and take. What I take from it, I later on examine what I've taken from it, and this is called science. The laws which I discover, tomorrow I'll discover further laws. They don't exist today. They do, of course, only that I'm not smart enough to see them, to discover them. So every time, the more we advance in science, we discover more of a lawfulness that exists in nature. And this is how we're built out of these three desires. The desire of the living level, of the animalistic level, the human desires, and the desire for wisdom. And all people in the world, they are actually an emergence of these three desires. Only one has more for science, another has more in order to overcome others and be rich and strong. And the third one, life is enough for him, let me be, football, cup of beer. Each one the way he's built. There's no good or bad person about this, but each person according to his nature. Three desires exist in every person, but each person corresponding to the inclination, the greatest desire is the desire that prevails in him. And thus, this is how we advance in life, and each person correspondingly takes his place in his environment, in the environment, in society, the human environment. And people that most of the society, we see that people who are trying to reach control, power, governance, dominion, they're fewer, and they really advance toward transcending human society, but to be in human society, to enjoy it. Meaning, if I especially have desires, my bodily desires, then I use what's around me on an equal level. If my desires belong to the human level, then I want to transcend the whole of humanity to control them, to be more than them, strong, smart, beautiful, successful, with a sack of gold, golden coins next to me or something, and so on and so forth. If I'm drawn to science, I have to both be above the desires of the animalistic level and the speaking level, meaning the human level, but the desire to understand, to connect with nature, to see why is it built the way it is and how. I want wisdom, philosophy, and I don't care about what's going on. I don't care about what I eat. I don't care about people, to be more, to be less with respect to them. I don't care. I can be closed in my in a corner with little food and barely be in touch with people. But what is important for me is to connect upwards to the laws of the universe. And this is how people differ in human society, and correspondingly each one does his, well, does what he does and builds a family and society and so on. Obviously, if we talk about the right way to use science, we need the wise people who know nature, that they acknowledge that there is a process in nature and a plan, that evolution itself, what does it speak about? That there is a lawfulness to our developments, not incidentally. We don't yet know the law, the legality of things. True, but we know that there is a process here that's not that clear to us yet. We don't really understand yet where is it going. But we can, according to approximation, we can guess that the process brings me to balance, like on all levels in nature, also on the human level, we eventually have to reach balance, and balance with nature can be in heat and cold, pressure, here more, here less, so it's wind and hurricanes, explosions, volcanoes, and so on. In order to balance everything, all in all, nature works only in order to balance itself, and includes within it also man, only the man that I see now, and we talked about earlier, man has to balance himself. That's what's interesting, that he has the bad forces and the good forces, and in order to not to reach an explosion and some kind of an outburst between them, then we are given the wisdom, the understanding that by nature we can reach balance between these forces, so that we'll use the bad, the power of evil on the one hand and the power of wisdom on the other hand, to conjoin them and advance in harmony. Not only me, because I live also on the animalistic level, I have to balance myself, meaning that I have to reach a balanced consumption, and I have to make sure that the whole world comes to that balance on the human level. It's when I'll be on equal, well, I'll be equal with everyone, like we are in a family, like we're all brothers. This is what I have to aspire for in human society and in science and on the level of wisdom. I have to aspire to know the general law of humanity, of reality, and by realizing it both on the animalistic level and on the human level, and also on the bodily level, the human level, and on the level of knowing this general law, the general legality, I will be like that apple that has ripened. And the truth is that there is one small addition here. Something that I would add is that this phenomenon existed in humanity in the past. We're talking about the people of Israel, who were interconnected this way as brothers. All of Israel are friends in their previous development. In the times that were before exile, in a time when the temple existed, when all of us were friends, brothers, interconnected, participating with each other in a good and nice way. And then, as it says, that the temple was destroyed due to unfounded hatred, that as always, throughout the process of the egoistic desire which grew in this nation, and it fell from brotherly love to unfounded hatred. And then, in unfounded hatred, they became worse than other nations in which there was no such fall, because they were not in brotherly connection, brotherly love between them. And then those people really became as a very special people that were outcasts, that to this day they were outcasted, and to this day they can't find a place. And we have to understand that that hatred coming from humanity toward them, it's also a natural law. We see that wherever we meet people, they have hatred towards people from Israel and Israel itself. And this comes as a result of these people having to probably return to their corrected form, to brotherly love, to rise from unfounded hatred that there are in, that they fell into from 2,000 years ago when they went into exile, and achieve connection, maybe show an example, set an example for everyone to show how they were in the past. Maybe in that they're special, where everybody says about them that they're different from others. And then by setting a good example for the world, especially that the world is needy of a good example in order to come out of the crisis and they don't know how to do it, then here we come in, the people of Israel, we are in a very special situation, that we are the ones who discover the method of correction for the whole of humanity, because it is upon us to show everyone brotherly love, love another as thyself, and then to show the whole of humanity that this is the situation that has brought us to coming out of the desert that we went astray in, to a good life. So we have a lot of very important hard work. Great work. There is no better, greater challenge than the one that is before us. And let's hope that by this course we will be able to realize it in favor of everyone. Can I ask?
Yes.
40 minutes, more or less, right? You talked about balance between two forces, and I didn't really understand what are those forces. The mental forces with the forces of evil. We are on the level of desires. We have the still desires, the vegetative desires, the animate desires, the living level desires. These are the desires that we have and we operate in. What are these desires of the still vegetative and the animate? As people, in my body, there are such desires, still desires, which is the substance of the body, the substance that it's made of, a vegetative desire because it grows in me, hair, nails, bones. The vegetative species and the animalistic level, which are all the rest of the bodily functions, and also there's my mind that is above the animalistic level, and I also have the power of evil, my ego. These are the parts out of which a person consists. And my forces, which are then the levels of still vegetative and animate, I have nothing to correct. My entire problem is that I am destroying my life with others because I have an evil nature, the ego. And I think that everyone agrees about that. I hear this from all directions. A person can say, I'm evil. No, others are. Humanity is. Our nature. And so on. Meaning, we nevertheless see that a person has tremendous abilities. He can make his life excellent. Why doesn't he do that? What stands in his way? What stands in his way is his egoistic character, that he wants to use all of his forces, all of his resources. He wants to use them all in order to rise above others, and then everyone's in competition, wants to destroy himself, one of the two or both of them together. This evil inclination does not let us reach a good life. And there are many things here that we have to learn. How can I imagine for myself that I will live in a good inclination? The good inclination, it means that all of us have to be the same. Is that possible? For me to be like anyone, like everyone, then what will I enjoy? Everyone's the same. No more, no less, no nothing. It's as if life's tasteless. This way, we're constantly in action, different things, to achieve this, achieve that. Subconsciously, I constantly make this calculation how more than others I am, and that gives me a taste in life. That pushes me toward achievements, toward everything. You see, sports, competition, at work, who's more, who's less. I have to measure myself with respect to others. By this, I measure the essence of life. How much life do I have? If it's the same in everyone, then I won't feel that I'm alive. And here there's a big question. How will we fill ourselves then? Nature wants to make us into some kind of dolls. What does it mean that we're all brothers? All brothers, it means that everyone has the same. We're all equal. So I don't feel, why live? Is there any other goal? I don't see this in my situation. I always want to realize myself further in wisdom, and you in writing, and he in photographing, and he in education. Each one wants to eventually distinguish himself, make himself conspicuous with respect to others. And this need pushes us to develop. Each person wants to single himself out. Take the bad feeling of the crisis, where I understand how I can balance everyone. I reach balance. Everyone's balanced. How do I then feel that vast part in a person in which he has to feel himself higher. How? We're now in a world where it's enough for me to work 2 hours a day, and I fill myself, and I don't feel that anything's missing. And also others, all the others. If all of us work 2 hours a day, and we will only want to be more than others, but everyone's equal. Everyone's equal, meaning that I need normal things. Then it's enough for me. How will I fill myself up? Because besides these 2 hours a day, meaning I work another 6 hours every day at least, in order to achieve something where I am more, better than others, and then I'll have 6 free hours. You can go crazy from all of this freedom. What will I do from all of this spare time? Has nature also organized these things that way? And here we are reaching, like, well, there was this example with the people of Israel, or leave the people of Israel aside. Here we're reaching the other side of nature, where we are in mutual participation against the ego. We're using the ego here only in its inverted form. Meaning, not in order to each one transcend above others, but each one of us how to transcend his own ego and balance with others, meaning that the ego, in the meantime, constantly grows, and I use it in order to be equal to others. By this, I get a satisfaction by connecting more forcefully toward others, because my ego is greater, so I can more strongly influence them, I can bring them to further balance and connection, then to enjoy that I reach a further connection with them, regardless of how I'm connected, to the extent to which I'm connected to them with my corrected ego, the more I can enjoy. I have a vessel in which I can enjoy, this general vessel that I annex, connect to myself, and then I get a satisfaction from it called mutual love. This is how I reach a fulfillment which is much higher than I have today if somehow I succeed in transcending someone. Meaning, only the right utilization of all resources allows me to reach full abundance. So who are the two forces that I have to balance in myself? The mind and the evil inclination. To understand with my mind that I have no choice, scientifically to understand that I have no choice, either I use science with my evil inclination, and then I create bombs, or I use my brains over the evil inclination, and then I straighten it out in order, instead of the bad, to connect the in order to connect with others in good and in bad, and then I reach a life of full abundance, mutual guarantee. So why does it mean to balance? It's for the mind to prevail the evil inclination. Yes. But balance, it's kind of a no. Balance not with the evil inclination, but using the evil inclination in order to be balanced with human society, with nature. And when I use the evil inclination, I merely invert it into good, but the inclination, the desire, I use it. The inclination is a desire. I use it only that in all this, I want to use all this evil for good. For the good, the whole development of the forms of nature is, we always see that two forces balance it. The bad and the good forces, and the combination between the two brings flourishment. So how can I balance the evil force, my ego, that destroys my life? I need something against it to be equal to it. And who is that? That is my mind. Thus, above the bodily desires and above the human desires, there is an additional science by which I can reach a point where my human part will be balanced. And if I don't have any special scientific inclination, everyone has. Everyone has the ability, the mental ability to cope with his ego. Meaning it has nothing to do whether I'm drawn to science or not. No. The mind that each one of us has. Yes. So I have a brain that has to be like the driver of my car called a man's ego. Exactly. That with my mind, I'll control the ego and aim it at the right kind of development. Correct development. What does that mean? That we're all equal, that we're all brothers, and this is how we advance. And the brain can advance me in that direction. That means that I'm a human being, that I advance through my brains and not with my ego, that through the brains the ego will achieve different achievements like atom bombs and means of destruction. This is what Aristotle and Plato meant, not to give indecent, unworthy people science, because they will use science, they'll use the wisdom incorrectly. It's possible to give the brains only to a person who wants to control the inclination. Today we have reached a state where we did not listen to their warning, and we reached a very poor state where we've developed egoistically, and we supported the egoistic development with all our science and so on, and now we have to calculate, to make some self-scrutiny and start developing otherwise, where the rationale, the recognition of evil. Wise is he who foresees the future. What is that good state that we have to reach? And then we have to see. And then we'll see that the whole evil inclination is the evil, is help made against. It as if only works against the goal, but it gives us the fuel, the energy. It stimulates us to develop in a good direction. And we can invert the evil inclination with our brains, by making that scrutiny of what is good and what is bad. This is why I said that to use it correctly or not is our free choice. That's it. Can I ask? Yes. What does it mean? You said to use it correctly or incorrectly is our choice. This is what you mean? Yes, to use our ego correctly, to use it correctly for good things. How do you use the ego correctly? No problem to do it in everything. There is no good or bad force in nature, but it depends on how you use it. Can you give an example? Once we were brothers. 100,000 years ago, we lived in the forest, in the jungle, everything was mutual. No one thought that he's better than the other. Everything was mutual. Then our ego started developing, and along with the ego, the brain started developing, the mind. And we started using our mind in order to serve the ego. I was more successful in something. I disconnected from my whole clan. I did something on my own. I started building for myself a nicer home, a few women, some sheep, everything more and more and more and more. Meaning, in my egoistic urges to be higher than others, for them to start transcending in me. With all of my mind, with all my abilities, with all my success, mental success, I started transcending, rising above others to an extent to which they had nothing to eat. I told them, come to me, I'll give you food, but you'll be my slaves. You agree? Yeah, what can they do? Otherwise, they'll starve to death. This is how I became their master. And then more and more, I took from them, I made them into a small army. I conquered some neighbors, became a king, and so on. Meaning, I have constantly used the wisdom, my excellence in twisting things, twisting people, in order to transcend them, to prevail. And to this day, each one of us and whatever he can, each one of us. Also those that I have conquered, suddenly he is a good worker, he is a good carpenter, and someone is a good blacksmith, and I use them, and this is how human society advanced, meaning each person uses his brains in order to achieve what he wants, to be better than others, he does others, and so on. The brain worked, it served the ego. The brain was serving the ego. The ego is the master, and the brain helps, it supports. This is how it was till the times of Plato and Aristotle. From them and on began the mind and the wisdom started developing much more with geometry and mathematics. It was a special period in time. And then they said, it is forbidden to give science, to pass science on to a student who is indecent, because he will use science in an incorrect way. He'll develop weapons, he'll develop such systems of control over others that will be neither for his benefit nor for theirs. They didn't hear. Didn't hear what they said. And they kept on going. Kept on going. Also not immediately. There was a period in time where science where scientists didn't really publicize things and sell them, but throughout the generations, that's how it happened, where the scientists themselves also wanted to become rich and powerful, and also get medals. I'll also tell you what's the problem. A scientist is a scientist, but in order to see stars, he needs a telescope. It costs plenty of money. Where will he take it? So he needs now someone wealthy, someone rich. So he's selling his wisdom. He has nothing to sell. He sells his wisdom for money in order to build for himself, suppose, a telescope. Or some other kind of instrument. And this is how science was corrupted, ruined. So, like, one uses his telescope now, the other uses his wisdom. What does he use? What does he use the telescope for now? That the other person, I can see the enemies coming from afar now through this telescope, and so I can defeat them. I can go against them because I have a great, powerful weapon. Now I can see them, and they can't see me. Just an example, suppose. You see what happens. Meaning, science became a slave to man's evil inclination. Serves him. And that's how it is with everything. And then rulers altogether, they took scientists, put them someplace and said, that's it. Either you give me science or we finish you off. You can't keep on living. Or opened universities themselves and taught people. In short, science really started serving man's ego in any possible thing. And to this day, we see where is science, where is the wisdom, where is all the money given to scientists go only in order to develop weapons. What we do say here, it has to be the very opposite. From those very first primary scientists, let's make the opposite. That science will now aim the evil to be good. To become good. That by all of our excellence, first of all, we have reached a state where we don't have to work so many hours. It's enough. We can limit ourselves, and really the crisis itself does this work, does this service. But what do we have to do now? We have to examine, we have to criticize, we have to develop criticism over ourselves, over our nature, over the forms of life, over using our whole ego adversely. Let's try and invert it for the good. Wise is he who sees the result before he reaches it, stumbles upon it, and gets a blow. Wise is he who sees the others. Why advance there? I'm developing science to know that now I'm ill. It's good for me to stop the disease now because otherwise I'll die. How can we depict for ourselves now a process that if it will continue this way, we will all be destroyed? And how can we correct ourselves? What kind of a remedy do we have to take in order to reach a perfect life? That's the problem. So that very science, that very development of ours, has to now give us an understanding, a feeling, examples of what's going on with us, where are we developing, what are we developing into. And to give it in such an emotional way, and to help organize this for us as such a strong public opinion, that I will not want to use evil toward others, but I will understand that the benefit of others is my own benefit. That I will feel that everyone is about to eat me. How can I make them into good people for them not to eat me, for them not to kill me? How can I buy them? What can I give them for them to treat me nicely? Without reaching a further deterioration, like we see now that that's what's going to happen. We already now don't want a family, don't want kids, don't want anything. Now, too, we discover complete indifference towards others and hatred and rejection. If it will further develop, then I will feel myself existing in a hostile world. Why come to that? Let's start correcting it already. Yes. What does it mean that everyone's about to eat me up? I'm a simple citizen. So I have a few enemies, like any other person. But you've described here something that I don't understand. I've described it, depicted it as the upcoming future, if we continue going the way we are. Once we had families, kids at home, we used to live with our brothers and sisters, with our relatives, with our parents, mine and hers. Everything was fine. Today we don't want anyone. A person can barely stand himself, takes drugs in order not to feel himself, and so on and so forth. This is an obvious direction of where we're developing, what we're advancing to. I can't go outside and be sure that nothing will happen to me. Rape, violence, bulliness, my kids afraid to go to school because there's violence there and people sell drugs and prostitution. I don't want him to go there myself. I simply have no choice. Can we ask? Okay, you said that a person looks at his neighbor's lawn, car, whatever, and wants to have more. Yes. And when you talked about it, you said as if it's some kind of a bad inclination in a person. But without looking at someone wanting to be better, then a person wouldn't have developed. Now, I'm not saying that it's negative. I'm saying that if I want to suppress the neighbor, there are two things here. If I look at him and I learn good things from him, to have that as well, and I'm not envious of him, but I learn from him that I want the same as well, that's good. That good kind of envy. But if I look at him and why work hard for me to also maybe have better for me to destroy what he has, then I'll have nothing to be envious of and won't have to eat myself up. That's the whole thing about how to use the desire. Envy. Suppose there's good envy and bad envy. Good envy advances me because I want to grow. Bad envy tells me destroy him. Destroy him. It's like either I want for everyone to be rich, or I want for no one to be rich, like me, to be poor, for everyone to be poor. It depends on how you twist or present each and everything. The examination is simple. Do I want in benefit of others or not? And if it's not in benefit of others or against others, but in favor of myself, only in your favor? That's advancement, okay? Suppose you have a beautiful car. I want an even better car. And I don't want to destroy your car. And I also don't want to steal from you. But I go, work hard, buy a better car than yours. And this process that I've described now, for me, were like a springboard. Thanks to you having a nice car, you pushed me to advance, work, buy an even better car. Right. So in this short scene we've described, is there something that demands correction? Of course. What? When you looked at me and wanted the same for yourself, are you in general balance with humanity and nature or not? Because nature demands of us eventually in the development that we will not learn from each other and be in ceaseless competition. This is why we came to a crisis. nature demands of us to provide ourselves with normal, balanced life, corporeal life, and above that, we will develop as humans, as people, and reciprocal connection between us for everyone to fill himself by connecting himself to others in love, to fill himself up with love, and not with more and more expensive and newer toys. We see this from our development lately. So until we have reached our current development, where we feel that that's it, there's no further place to develop to, I'm fed up with looking at others, I'm not succeeding in it, and I will have no fulfillment as a result. And the general system and technology and everything no longer support that. And Earth no longer gives me enough natural resources for me to be in this infant competition. As a result, we see that nature's program is a program that we have to see not to simply develop more and more, and however it seems to us that that is what happiness is. The general situation, meaning the process we're undergoing, is what necessitates us to see now that there is no further place to develop to. If you're asking particularly, then yeah, great, what's the problem? He has a great car, I want a greater car. It's neither bad nor good, you can say no. Another person will say, I saw a good car, I lived my whole life quietly, calmly. Now I see that instead of a horse and carriage, he bought a car. I feel myself second degree, second rate. What? I'm less than him. Maybe I'll kill him and that's it, for him not to give me a bad example so I won't have to work because he's bittering my life. But I'm not talking about these scrutinies. Suppose it's like you say that I don't care, although for sure that's not the case, but it's that nature can't allow us to continue in the same competition. Nature does not allow us to continue the same competition. So from what you say, in general, I understand that you're against competition. I am in favor of competition that leads us to wealth, to be happy. What is a competition that leads us to happiness? You earlier said that when authors envy, it increases wisdom. You said that there is a good and a bad kind of envy. So what is a good kind of envy? It's based on competition. Yes, but a kind of competition where I want to bestow onto society like you do. That is a constructive competition, balanced with nature and the same goal in sync with nature. So what is a good kind of competition? Like you said, that there's good and bad competition? Yes. So can you explain what that is? The main thing, what's more interesting is what's good competition. When I look at someone else and I learn from him, we learn through envy. He's great, I'm small. He's successful, I'm not. What am I envious of him about? And what things? If these things bring me the world balance and tranquility, advance me and the world toward the attainment of the general goal, a good, nice apple on a tree, that same form, that means good envy and good competition. And here we really need to encourage this as much as possible. Medals, prizes on the media to present this person before everyone, for people to see. Good example. If we do not advance to better things as a result, but we fall into deeper problems. We distance from the goal, then it is bad envy and a bad kind of competition. It is all measured with respect to the attainment of the final goal. We have no choice. We have to come to that balanced fashion. We see it in nature. Through the balancing, we have to come. We see what happens in nature through the vegetative and animate, what's with us. So if I understand correctly, competition is something rooted in a person. A person is a social creature, and thus he is also a competitive creature. Yes, this is the desire, the inclination. So it's not good or bad, simply the way it is. Yeah, it depends on how you use it, true. So if you can explain a bit more, what does it mean to use it for the better? If you can a bit give it more to understand, what does it mean, a good kind of competition? It says, envy, lust, and honor deliver a person from the world. There's this, like, quotation. So what does it mean that envy, lust, and honor deliver a person from this world? In the situation where I am now, if I want to advance, be more useful toward myself and the environment and the world, then specifically I have to use envy, lust, and honor. Only to use it in a way that my brains will participate in it and will aim me to use it correctly. Again, we've reached the mind against the bad direction that there might be for the brain to aim me to use everything in the good direction. All of my inclinations have both the ability to do things for the better or for the worse. My brain has to aim me to use things for the better. This is why a person was given brains, and this is why Plato and Aristotle said that to the extent to which a person has the brains and he wants to be decent, given the wisdom, he'll use it correctly. Otherwise, don't. Okay, there are some problems here, technical problems. Okay, again, we're experiencing some technical problems. Sveta, can we go? So I still can't get this thing about a good kind of competition. You also talked about it on the previous part of the conversation, that we are used to measuring ourselves with respect to others, and then if everyone will be equal, then a person doesn't feel himself alive, doesn't feel himself as existing. Then you said that his competition won't be against his others, but against his ego, where instead of transcending myself, I transcend, or instead of transcending you, I transcend my ego. So what I can't get from the lesson today, I'll give you several examples. Suppose we're going together to a health club. Not sports, but health. And I pull you, you pull me, and we're doing different activities there. I look at you, I see how you become better. Well, stronger for the sake of health. I'm envious of you. It helps me. That's called good envy. I want for you to be less than I am or not. Maybe I enjoy you being a bit less than me. Maybe I want to be healthier, stronger, better. But nevertheless, eventually, this process, you can't say that it is evil. There is a kind of a competition in it where I examine myself with respect to you. It's already competition, but it's still in favor of development. Meaning that even though it's egoistic, even though it's there's envy, lust, and honor that push me to transcend you, to be better, like you are better than you, but it's in my favor. There is the ability where we're in competition. I look at you and I feel bad because I'm incapable of reaching what you're reaching. Why see a good example like that before me? Then it's not good, it's bad. You bought some Cadillac that I'm incapable of buying. So I blow up your Cadillac at night and enjoy. Besides, you not having it, what you had that cost you $200,000 or whatever is gone now. Ah, that's good. And it could be with respect to the kids, neighbors, and doesn't matter what. Could be that we are in a good kind of competition. What is the good kind of competition? That it is only, it adds only to both of us, and we're interconnected, and we can't succeed one without the other as partners. As partners, suppose we're going to some business, you give money, I give the knowledge, or the opposite, doesn't matter. And when we're partners, I need you, yes, I love you. Well, without you, I wouldn't have made anything in this business. This way, thank God, we're going together. Is there a place here for hatred or not? Of course there is. Why won't there be here? Why shouldn't I have both money and knowledge? Why do I have only knowledge and not money? Then maybe I'll kill you somehow in a smart way, and then the whole business will pass on to me. Meaning in different cases, even if we're interdependent, then there could be a calculation of how much better off I'll be without you. Either you won't have anything or you won't exist altogether, God forbid. There's only one kind of competition where we're interdependent and can't be one against the other because we become as one. It is the competition of how much we love each other, where there's nothing in between as some kind of an object that we acquire or as some kind of a product that we manufacture. But we ourselves are in the same desired result, both of us as one. And as this one, it's not divided in two, where I'm instead of you, you're instead of me, I'm more, he's less. No, but one. And this one comes only as a result of our integration. Integration meaning connection between us in all of our qualities and all of the things in which we complete each other, where none of us can be on his own and can't acquire it from the other but through mutual love, at least through mutual guarantee, which is a preparation for mutual love. And then we reach the only, very unique solution, where it's impossible. Whatever you put together, whatever you build besides that, will be egoistic. Only this could be an envy, lust, and honor, competition, and hate and love and whatever, and everything compensates for all the others, makes everything complete. We have to further talk about this, but this is actually the only solution. So what are we engaging in? We are engaging in connecting between us in order to discover love, which is a result of our connection. And by this, each one of us has to correct himself and the connection between us until there we discover love. And there's great work there, work through the mind, where we take our corporeal life and balance them all into one line. Everyone gets what their body needs. Above that, we scrutinize all of our evil from the degree of man, from the human level. And above that, we develop all of our science, all of our wisdom, from a higher level in man, from science, in order to realize our life, our bodily life, and our evil inclination that's constantly revealed by science, and to invert it into the good inclination up to love. This is man's destination. And there's tremendous work about it, and We won't finish it. It seems as if it's simple, but our whole life was given to us for that. That is a person's destiny. For us to engage in it at least a few hours a day in order to take care of our bodily basic needs, and all the rest of the time of the day is in order to correct the evil inclination and to bring it, to make it a good inclination. By this we discover the perfection in nature. Is that your sum total of our lesson today? Yes, this lesson is based on the introduction to the Book of Zohar. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. I would like to add something. There is a part there that I talked about Jews and Israel. It depends on where do we, what do we do with it. If it's for Israel, then we can elaborate. If it's for the whole world, then maybe not. We have to check according to the needs. Okay, so thank you very much. Till next time, all the best.